And I'll start a bit of Alice. This is the section Unlived Anger. In October 1977, the philosopher Leszek Kolakowski was awarded the Peace Prize of the German Booksellers Association. In his acceptance speech, he spoke about hatred with special reference to the event that was on many people's minds at that time, the hijacking of a Lufthansa plane to Mogadishu. Kolakowski said that time after time there have been instances of people who are completely free of hatred and who therefore offer proof that it's possible to live without it. It's not surprising for a philosopher to talk like this if he identifies humanness with consciousness, but for someone who's been confronted with manifestations of unconscious psychic reality on a daily basis and who sees over and over again how serious the consequences of overlooking this reality are, it will no longer be a simple matter, of course, to divide people into those who are good or bad, loving or hate-filled. Such a person knows that moralizing concepts are less apt to uncover the truth than to conceal it. Hatred is a normal human feeling, and a feeling has never killed anyone. Is there a more appropriate reaction than anger or even hatred in response to the abuse of children, the rape of women, the torture of the innocent, especially if the perpetrator's motives remain hidden? A person who has had the good fortune from the beginning to be allowed to react to frustration with rage will internalize his empathic parents and will later be able to deal with all his feelings, including hatred, without need for analysis. I don't know if such people exist under class, my comment. I've never met one. What I have seen are people who did not acknowledge their hatred but delegated it to others without meaning to, and without even knowing they were doing it. Under certain circumstances, they developed a severe obsessional neurosis accompanied by destructive fantasies. Or, if this did not occur, their children had the neurosis. Often they were treated for years for physical illness that was really psychic in origin. Some suffered from severe depressions. But as soon as it became possible for them to experience their early childhood hatred in analysis, their symptoms disappeared. And with them, the fear that their feeling of hatred might cause someone harm. And my comment, I'm curious about this phrase in analysis, about what exactly occurs in analysis. My assumption is that what occurs is a process of probing questions, a process of careful selection of the right questions to return the person to the feelings those questions, words, thoughts evoke under the guidance of the empathic partner, who, in a sense, becomes the empathic parent that Alice refers to, a partner who creates the scene or scenes in which the anger arose, and then allows the child within to play it again, to redo it under conditions of safety, the way it should have been, i.e., the child is allowed to be big and expressive rather than small and passive, allowed to see that the parent survived it, their anger, and still loves them. So my question in raising this point is, can we construct a similar process for ourselves? And I wrote this comment a while back, so I'm now having to think through it again as to whether this is, in fact, what we need to do. But my question is, can we construct a similar process for ourselves and our brothers and sisters, allowing all of us to feel the anger, experience the grief authentically, i.e., explained in its true context, its true history, experienced by the light of the ancestors' deep sight, because of which the true self can grow in the wake of it. And we all grow stronger because of it. Seeing ourselves get big and expressive as it should have been and were as we were in utero and have become again.